Hello and welcome again to A Place for Healing from Bethesda Workshops. I'm Jim Kress. How are you today? Hope it's been a good one for you. Whenever you're hearing our program, be sure to know that there's a lot more in the way of different offerings, including these audio programs called A Place for Healing here at BethesdaWorkshops.org or wherever you may be listening, because sometimes people may be able to download and listen in all kinds of places with the advent of the internet. Marnie Furry is with us as we enjoy hearing what she has to say in the way of she is a pioneer in the field or a leader in the field of sexual addiction, and she is the executive and clinical director of Bethesda Workshops, author of No Stones, Women Redeemed from Sexual Addiction, and Making Advances, a comprehensive guide for treating female sex and love addicts. Again, we'll give you information throughout the program where you can reach us to find out more. You may say, I got a question about this, and I don't know, can I really call? You better believe it. The staff at Bethesda Workshops, that's what they do. To take your call at 866-464-4325, that's 866-464-HEAL, or BethesdaWorkshops.org. Welcome back, Marnie.
Hi, Jim. Glad to be here.
Yeah, let's tell our listeners where we're going to go. We try to vary the topics here and keep varying them. We want to be of interest to people. But what are we going to talk about in our program today?
We're going to talk about the importance of getting the right help for sex addiction, whether you're a person who's struggling or the partner of an addict.
So the idea of getting the right help might imply that there are people that could, well, what, get the wrong help? I mean, we've talked about
unfortunately,
this.
Unfortunately, that's exactly right.
Yeah, what kind of wrong help have you seen? I mean, we've both seen it, but tell us, I mean, where someone says, I'm reaching out, would you help me? And you go, that's not the best advice they got. What have you seen?
We see horror stories, actually, at Bethesda Workshops, people who are coming. And, you know, the sad thing, Jim, is that I am convinced that sex addiction is the addiction of choice among Christians, again, largely because of the internet. But what's also true is that, sadly, Christians seem pretty ill-equipped to help in this area. They many times just do not understand the problem of sex addiction and for sure don't understand how to treat it, how to be helpful about it. And sometimes secular clinicians aren't any better, but I really, you know, because I live and move and have my being within the Christian community.
Right, that's right.
It breaks my heart, actually, just to be blunt about it, at the damage that we do to each other sometimes within the church. And I think first, Jim, the wrong help happens when people don't understand, and the green Christians especially, that this problem of sex addiction is multifaceted.
Right.
And it needs a multifaceted solution. Too often, again, especially within the Christian community, this issue is viewed as just a spiritual problem. Okay, this behavior is sin. Mm-hmm. Yep, it sure is. And Christian helpers often will try to throw all of those good religious fixes toward this problem and tell somebody, well, just pray more, or just read your Bible more, or just surrender your heart to Christ. And
a lot
again,
of people are going to go check, check, check. I've done all three of those and about 10 more, right? Yeah,
exactly. And you know, I really don't want to be misunderstood. I am a committed Christian, and I believe in all of those things as spiritual practices and disciplines and connections and relationship with God. But at the same time, when you're struggling with an addiction, that is not going to be helpful. So to understand that this is a very complicated issue, and that when someone says, I have done those things, as you were just teasing, and they still can't stop, now it's time to bring in an expert.
It's reminiscent of the, I'm sure you've seen it, I've played it in where I've spoken at a conference, the Bob Newhart clip out there.
Exactly.
Just stop it, you know, stop it. And people, maybe they're well-meaning, but in the church just say, you know, just stop doing that, or you need to confess it. And you and I have talked with so many men and women who really have said, I have done that. I have tried extreme measures. I have prayed. I've had, you know, had been anointed with oil, or all but if not indeed sought out a deliverance ministry, or what. I've tried everything I can try to just stop it. That's why when we use this word addiction, it continues, you know, all these signs, what, it continues despite adverse circumstances. There's all this, it's progressive, it's degenerative, it's obsessive, it's compulsive, I can't seem to stop. That's going around in the realm of addiction. How much of an issue is it that there are also those, again, back to some statistics that we're familiar with, there are those who are also in church leadership at various levels who themselves are struggling with sexual addiction? We say that compassionately. I think it's going to be really scary for some of those people to open up to talk about this in the church because they're struggling. What do you say about that? You've seen a bunch of that, Marnie.
I have. I think that's exactly right. It's like, this is hitting too close to home, so I don't want to talk about this in my congregation or even as a Christian helper. I'm not going to get any training, or I'm not really going to address this issue because it's I have no idea how to deal with it in my own life. So I definitely think that that's a contributing factor. Let's outline, though, together, Jim, some other areas about, yeah, okay, what does wrong help look like? You asked me that a couple of minutes ago. I think first it's really important to understand that the standard marriage therapy, standard mm-hmm. couples therapy,
right,
is not going to be helpful when addiction is the problem.
Yeah, say more about that.
Yeah, too often when it becomes apparent or it's disclosed that one or other of the spouses is struggling with sexual addiction, the couple immediately wants to go running to their friendly neighborhood, Christian or secular for that matter, couples counselor. And unless that couples counselor understands and is trained in treating sex addiction, that is not going to be helpful. Because couples counseling very often involves things like, you know, well, what are your expectations and hopes for this marriage? You know, what are your goals? What brought you together? Y'all need to just go on a date night, or saying to the husband, would just bring her flowers or take her off to a nice
she might whack
breakfast.
You upside the head with those flowers if you bring them
exactly.
home if you're caught in addiction. Like,
exactly.
Take that.
Yeah. And the partner will be saying, well, the last thing I want to do is go have some, you know, cushy romantic read sexual weekend with you.
Yeah, right.
That's not going to happen. And so those kinds of things, those kinds of interventions that, you know, or just work on your communication skills. All those things are great for your quote average couple who may need those kinds of that kind of help, but that's not going to help with an addiction.
Yeah, I've said, you know, I say this in a way that I think is respectful of anyone in the counseling field. I think kind of, I don't know if I even told you this, Barney, but I've told every workshop that I can remember the fellas in the groups that I've done at Bethesda to say, you need to understand, you see this notebook you've got here, you've gone through during this week here? Mm-hmm. Well, it's chock full of information. You're going to go back, and I say, now don't go back and be arrogant about this, but you're going to go back to your therapist. Some of you will, and we are pro therapists. Therapists refer to Bethesda. We're not, again, we don't steal clients, et cetera. We say, I'll say, you're going to go back, and in some of your cases, some not, but some, you will know more about the dynamics, maybe it's only at 20, 30,000 feet, but know more about sexual addiction than some of your own therapist will. And that becomes an issue because I've talked, you have people that went in and said, well, here's my, oh, we're going for marriage counseling, and here's part of my disclosure or just my sexual addiction acting out, and said, look, the therapist looked like, yuck, really? Ooh, or wow. Or, so there's this almost revulsion, or, well, let's just work on them and just miss this obvious elephant in the room because they don't know how to treat it. You've seen that a bunch too.
That's exactly right. So for an addict, the wrong kind of help is what you're describing. It's discouraging disclosure. One of our programs is, in fact, we've got two parts program about disclosure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's focusing only on individual therapy or even individual intensives, and there may be a place for that that might be helpful for someone. But the standard of care in addiction treatment across the board is group.
Yeah.
Just
why is that? People say, really? I mean, come on. Why? What's that going to do? Don't you get more effect just one-on-one? Group is the standard. Why is that important?
it's because we learn so much from each other.
Yeah, that's true.
And being in community, and particularly when it comes down to the problem of sexual addiction, which is actually an intimacy disorder. It's not a sexual behavior problem. It's much deeper than that. We learn how to be intimate. I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about emotional, how to show up with other people, and we learn in group. And that healing community, you know, God made us for relationship. And sure, the most important relationship is with God himself, but God also made us for relationship with each other. So it's the wrong kind of help if a therapist says, oh, you don't need to go to group. It's the wrong kind of help for a partner. And man, I see this so much at our Healing for Partners workshop. Just heartbreaking stories of primarily wives. Some of them are men, male partners who are married to female sex addicts. But for simplicity's sake, I'm going to use the feminine term wives here most of the time, who have gone to a pastor or gone to a secular kind of counselor, and they get blamed for their addicts acting out.
That's traumatizing, isn't it?
Crazy. It's so traumatizing. Or they get told, especially, unfortunately, by a male Christian counselor, well, you just need to have sex with him more. So, like, have sex with him every 72 hours, every 3 days, and that will help his lust problem.
For which we have the term addicted sex in marriage.
Exactly. So those are the wrong kind of help. Or sometimes a addict or a partner will say, well, maybe we need to see a sex therapist.
Yeah.
And there's some great Christian sex therapists who can help a couple with their sexual intimacy. But again, if that sex therapist doesn't understand addiction, then many of the things that they're going to be encouraging a couple to do, and there's nothing wrong with these, but are going to miss this problem. So unfortunately, there's a whole huge bucket out here of the wrong kind of help.
Very well stated. We'll take a break and come back. This really is good information, folks. I think you pick up on that. And what we want to do is we want to be helpful to everyone listening today. Maybe pass the word and tell other friends, or you say, I know someone who needs to hear what Marnie's saying there on that program today. Well, let them know. BethesdaWorkshops.org. Certainly to answer any other questions, 866-464-4325. We're talking today about the importance of getting the right help for sexual addiction. Jim Kress with Marnie Faree. This is A Place for Healing. Here is the executive and clinical director of Bethesda Workshops, author and conference speaker, Marnie Faree.
Bethesda Workshops is a place for healing from sex and relationship addiction. Located in Nashville, Tennessee, we offer help and hope to those who are personally struggling and to their partners. Our 4-day intensive workshops are the equivalent of 8 to 12 months of weekly counseling. It's the most cost-effective and easiest way to get a huge jump start or boost in the healing process.
Contact Bethesda Workshops today at BethesdaWorkshops.org or 1-866-464-HEAL. That's 866-464-4325 or BethesdaWorkshops.org. Back on A Place for Healing from Bethesda Workshops, and I'm joined by Marnie Faree. She's, of course, a certified sex addiction therapist, well-known author, speaker, and executive and clinical director of Bethesda Workshops. Again, questions you might have, someone you know who is in trouble, it happens. Someone says, hey, can I tell you, this is embarrassing, but my husband, or this has hit our marriage, or even as we've done other programs on female sex addiction, you say, I've got a problem. This is an issue. And some of you today, if you want to represent, sometimes I may call it being an ambassador, you could put a link to your church website or go out on Facebook, Twitter, whatever social media you use, and let people know that they can come listen to these programs here, these audio programs called A Place for Healing from Bethesda Workshops at BethesdaWorkshops.org. We know this is a massive problem, this realm of sexual acting out. We would call it sexual, even sexual addiction within the church, men and women being impacted. So why don't you be an ambassador, not just for us, but for help and hope, and just point people toward the website. It's BethesdaWorkshops.org. Well, we've talked about the importance of getting the right help for sexual addiction, looking a little bit at some of the wrong help. We're not being pejorative about anyone who's given some of the, quote, wrong help, but it can steer people in a very damaging direction. Obviously, Marnie, we want to move into what the right help looks like.
That's right. And the good news is there is right help.
Yes.
And there are actually some certification programs for counselors and things to... It's a good way. It's just kind of a benchmark to know if someone is, it's called a CSAT, that Certified Sexual Addiction Therapist. That's the premier certification in the field. There are others who are very well trained and very well versed in this, who have not jumped through the hoops to become a CSAT because it's quite an arduous process.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is that just like with this program, we're beginning to talk more about the issue of sexual addiction, and people are beginning to understand more how to be helpful about it. I think the right help, what's most important is for the helper to understand that sex addiction is really an intimacy disorder.
What does that mean? People hear that, intimacy disorder.
Yeah, we mentioned that a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
That means that this is not just about the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, whatever the behavior it is, pornography, affairs, whatever, is wrong and not helpful and has to be addressed and has to stop. Okay, duh. However, that is just the beginning point. Sobriety, it's called, from those acting out behaviors, whatever they are, is just the beginning point. Nothing good's going to happen without sobriety, but that's not nearly enough. That's kind of like, again, within our Christian tradition of someone, you know, well, okay, accept Christ. Obviously, that's great. But then go live however you want and
right.
never do anything about that mm-hmm. relationship with God again. That is certainly incomplete and not enough. And so the right help addresses not just the behavior, but it also addresses the root causes. We've talked about that in other programs in this series on Bethesda Workshops and our healing conversations about what are some of those root causes. I don't think that sex addiction exists in a vacuum.
Yeah.
And the right help understands that and is going to look at, has there been trauma in a person's life? What kind of family dysfunction was present in a person's life? What kind of attachment injuries is the clinical word? What kind of difficulties? Maybe it's bullying. What kind of core beliefs that are inaccurate is a person carrying around and living out in their life? So understanding that those root causes are absolutely what must be addressed. It's that trauma. That's the great big umbrella word. That trauma is what's driving this behavior, and that's got to get addressed in that way.
Well, if about 10% of that is true, what you've just said, and someone says, you know, you're masturbating to porn or you've had affairs or you're doing whatever, going to strip clubs or whatever else, you just need to stop that, and it's a choice. Like I said, if 10% of that's true, you know, we're missing a lot, because to sit there and try to, there's a great verse I love in Jeremiah. It says they treat their wounds, it's a compound wound in the Hebrew, they treat their compound fracture wounds superficially, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. You've described
right.
some compound wounds here, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Another thing about the right help, Jim, is that, yes, it's looking at the behavior, and yes, it's looking at the underlying causes,
mm-hmm.
but it's also looking at accompanying behaviors.
Yeah.
You know, sex addiction is really a coping mechanism for these deeper wounds, and there are a whole lot of coping mechanisms, and the best kind of treatment is going to look at all of those. So it's not just about sexual behavior. It's about money. There are all kinds of money issues often that accompany sexual acting out. It's about food. It's about abusing alcohol or using drugs. it's also, though, about some awfully socially and religiously accepted behaviors, like focusing on everybody else and on perfectionism or workaholism, or I call it churchaholism, all those kinds of things. So the right kind of help is going to really be very comprehensive and look at this whole picture of what's happening with an individual.
We're going to take another break and come back. And we, you know, this is so crucially important to talk about what the right kind of help looks like. You know, maybe you've sought out help and you said it ended up being the wrong kind. Well, there is help and hope, and it's never too late to start doing what's right. A lot of people have to go through a lot of doors before they find the right place. And you'll hear more about that from Bethesda Workshops. Marnie Faria is with us. I'm Jim Kress. Getting the right help for, really, treatment of sexual addiction. We'll be right back. Here is the executive and clinical director of Bethesda Workshops, author and conference speaker, Marnie Faria.
Bethesda Workshops uses the best clinical strategies shared by leaders who are at least master's level licensed counselors. All facilitators have specific training in treating sex addiction and underlying issues. A number of our staff are actually CSATs, which is the highest certification in our field. Bethesda Workshops is also a distinctly Christian program that emphasizes grace-based spiritual principles as the foundation for healing.
Contact Bethesda Workshops today at 1-866-464-4325. That's 866-464-4325 or BethesdaWorkshops.org. Thanks again so much for joining us on A Place for Healing from Bethesda Workshops. And if you need to reach out for help and hope, that number again, 866-464-HEAL, 866-464-4325, or BethesdaWorkshops.org. And I am Jim Kress, here joined by Marnie Faria today. We're talking about what in the world does the right help for sexual addiction recovery, what's it look like? We shared a little bit what the wrong help looks like, and the right help is what we're after. And Marnie, again, I know you're going to take us back to the importance of 12-step work. Why so?
Absolutely. The right help, just, I think without question, encourages a person to be involved in a 12-step community. Again, if sex addiction, and I believe this wholeheartedly, is an intimacy disorder, how can you practice intimacy without being in the company and presence and interaction with other people? Again, to me, that's kind of like a no-brainer. The beginning point from Alcoholics Anonymous, now however many years ago, really just struck gold in the unbelievable wisdom of understanding people heal people, obviously with God's help, but I'm saying in our human world,
right,
that we learn so much from each other. So being a part of a 12-step community, and I think it's also really important, even if there is a faith-based support group for sex addiction in your area, whether it's Celebrate Recovery or one of the other kinds of Christian-based groups, that's awesome. And go be a part of that. At the same time, though, it is not a substitute for your regular old so-called secular 12-step groups. There are several primary S fellowships. And the reason for that, Jim, is for as simple as the regular so-called 12-step programs typically meet many more times than just once a week.
Right.
And addicts just need that kind of support. So that being in a healing community is just, it's so important.
And I want to throw out one quick one for you. I know you can hit it right out of the park as soon as I throw it at you. Somebody says, yeah, but you go to these, quote, secular ones, and they say, my higher power is. Well, the higher power should be Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you say to the people who kind of get stuck on that issue? That person over there across the room in that 12-step meeting, their higher power was somebody else. What do you say?
Well, to be honest with you, Jim, I kind of have to take a deep breath when I hear that, and because I just get so aggravated.
Yeah.
I really think that 12-step programs were instrumental in saving my life.
Yes.
So I don't have a lot of patience for it. But I would say to them, you know, number one, the 12 steps themselves are totally spiritually based.
Yes.
All of the principles are congruent with our Christian faith. They come right out of biblical basis. And number two, you know, I know who my higher power is.
That's right.
And Christians know that. And it actually is a very level playing field and creates a very, we would call it graceful,
yeah.
grace-based,
yeah.
accepting environment. And that's just crucial.
Thanks for answering that. What's next?
Well, I think the right kind of help also understands that this is a family issue, and the addict is not the only so-called identified patient. The right help understands that an addict's partner, that wife or husband who is in relationship with that addict, also deserves his or her own help, own focus, own attention, own supportive community, and treating both the addict and the partner is so crucial in this. And again, unfortunately, within the Christian community especially, we miss that. The
mm-hmm.
addict will get a whole lot of attention, but the addict's partner, that wife or husband, is just left to fend for herself and figure it out or pray the addict into better behavior or something. So that's really important.
The idea of this word, let's make sure we get this in, sexual anorexia. Some people have talked about from acting out, they go to acting in and they are dry
right.
drunking it or whatever. What is sexual anorexia anyhow?
Well, you just described it perfectly, Jim, of acting in, totally shutting down
mm-hmm.
your sexuality. And again, sometimes an untrained helper will say, well, the best way to deal with this is kind of the prohibition type.
Mm-hmm.
movement of just become an asexual being. Well, God made us as sexual people. It's part of our sensuality. It's certainly part of a marriage relationship. And so to understand that the right kind of help is moving an individual and then a couple, if they're married, into healthy sexuality and not just cutting off everything that's sexual about a person's being.
Well, like prohibition, that I'm coining a term right here on the program. You heard it here. Unless it's been used elsewhere, it turns into sexual moonshiners. How about that? Yeah, there's a sense of people
going
on their own. All right, and let's talk about, too, just a moment of, I know you've said this, but to harken back, people say sobriety, or stop the sin, sobriety. Sobriety is part of the plank or platform that gets you, but we're after healthy sexuality, not just stopping, I'm sober. Healthy sexuality is down the road. That's the goal, right?
That I would say the goal actually is healthy living.
Ooh,
this
I love
is really
that.
Not a sexual problem. It's a
yeah.
living problem.
Okay.
That's what alcoholics said. I don't have a drinking problem. I have a living problem. And I think that's absolutely true. At the same time, yes, ultimately, especially for a couple in recovery from sexual addiction, to restore, probably actually to create for the first time a truly healthy sexual relationship between the husband and the wife is, it's such a cool and wonderful thing.
Well, you've referenced You Are One and I Are One, this certified sexual addiction therapist called a CSAT. There are others who have specific training around this. You've said find in this area with sexual addiction, really find someone who's paid their dues, the best trained clinician. Sometimes that might not even be a Christian counselor. Can you speak to that as we wrap up here in the last couple of minutes, please?
Absolutely, Jim. I think, again, think about a person who physically is having a challenge and maybe it's a heart problem. Well, you know, you're not going to go to your dentist for your heart issues.
Right.
You're going to find the right help. And I think that is the same thing with sexual addiction. If there is a Christian counselor who's trained and understands these issues, hallelujah. However, if there's not, it's much better to go to the so-called secular clinician who understands. A licensed and ethical clinician will do nothing to try to get you to deviate from your faith. They will be supportive of your faith. At the same time, though, the Christian who doesn't understand these issues can't give you the help that you really need. So It's so important to find the person who is best equipped. God has many, many healers, and getting the right help for sex addiction is so important.
And this is not a softball. We know this is true. We even know it based on research. The importance of doing intensive work, maybe even up front, like Bethesda workshops, versus just the 50-minute hour a week. We're glad for the 50-minute hour. Why are these, in the last minute here, why are these intensives like Bethesda does so important for recovery?
I think it's the most cost-effective, actually, and practical way to get a huge jumpstart or boost in recovery. I know at Bethesda Workshops, we always say it's the equivalent of about 8 to 12 months of weekly individual counseling. I mean, just add up the hours. That's a pure mathematical thing. But to be in group and the intensity of kind of stopping the world, I'm going to absolutely focus on this. It's a wonderful help. So yeah, thanks for the plug. Bethesda Workshops is part of the right help. I know that.
Yeah, it is very important. And Marnie, the last about 20 seconds or so, you always leave us with an encouraging word here on A Place for Healing.
I know that when the student is ready, the teacher will come.
Yeah.
And God will honor the desire of someone's heart to gain freedom from this issue and learn to live in grace and integrity in a different way.
Thank you, Marnie. And if you are ready, friend, say, I got my hand up. I need help. 866-464-4325, a number you can call right now. You, your spouse, anybody out there, you need help. 866-464-4325. That's 866-464-HEAL or BethesdaWorkshops.org. I'm Jim Kress for Marnie Faree. We'll see you next time on A Place for Healing.